It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, friends, to another episode of your favourite golf podcast. It's Golf is Ruining My Life. And for the first time ever, this podcast is a bit ruining my life at the moment.
Yeah, good.
Listener, we really put in effort to make this show. So much so that this morning...
I got dressed for this today.
Well, that, yeah.
That's not easy.
You came over to my house. Well, I mean, right now it's 26 minutes past 7 a.m. on a Wednesday morning.
You just can't take the radio DJ out of you, can you, Tom?
No, yeah.
Little time check there.
Harry Styles is next. But the time is important because you came to my house 26 minutes ago at 7 in the morning because it's the only time possible we can get this away and do this.
Well, because I've got a stupid radio show in the afternoon. You've got a stupid radio show in the morning.
Yep.
So the only thing we can do is go ultra early.
Yeah.
And talk about golf. But it's great because I get to miss out on the kids going to school, which is a really annoying time of day.
And
so I love it.
This is the equivalent of, I think, when your mate's like, oh no, I can only play Sunday if we tee off at 6 in the morning because I've got like that thing with my wife and then I've got Sunday lunch. So you agree to play at like first tee.
And I can only play 12 holes.
Oh, screw that guy.
I do think that when you try and shorten a round of golf and everyone just goes instinctively to 9, I think, because in Scotland, you get these 6 courses, don't you? So it's 6, 12, 18.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can. There's a lot of courses where you can just play 12. In fact, there's a few courses in Scotland that only have something like 14 or 15 holes.
Well, that's how golf was originally, wasn't it? It's like St Andrews was originally, I think, a 9 and then maybe a 12. Look at this, some half-assed information.
Mate, it's 7:27 in the morning.
Yeah, come on.
Phil Collins is next. I work on magic.
I've not got facts for you. But yeah, it wasn't. The sport didn't start with 18 holes.
No.
So there was a lot of courses, original courses in Scotland that, yeah, had 9, 12, 14, and then they settled on the 18.
Do you think there was a guy who really disliked his wife and he was like, do you know what? 12's not enough.
There's any way we can make this longer.
Yeah, exactly. Like the guy who invented the 5-day cricket test match.
Yeah.
Do you think there was someone somewhere who like just loathed his family and was like, can we make it 27 holes?
If there's any way I can have more time away, that would be really, yeah, really good. So funny, Em's dad is really particular over 18 holes. Mm-hmm. He does not believe in 9, already less than 9. Like it won't happen.
Wow.
It's like, it's 18 holes or it's nothing. Okay. We don't do less than 18 holes.
Yeah, well, some families have got standards, Tom.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're marrying into an excellent family. Good.
Yeah, which I agree with. He wouldn't
approve of what you do, which I quite like, which is when I'll play 9, but you're doing something else, and then you join me on 10.
Oh, it's so many. Yeah, weird.
That is weird. I find that is a really weird golf thing when people just play 9 with someone else who's doing 18.
I did that with you the other week.
Yeah, it was nice, but it is weird because you get into the mindset of playing with certain people and that becomes the round.
And then all of a sudden, who's this intruder?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, you're in Big Brother and then a new housemate enters after a couple of weeks. Mm. What's going on? All the sexual chemistry's changed all of a sudden. You know?
So the podcast is doing really well at the moment.
Yeah, you're moving very quickly.
Yeah, I'm just going to move on from that. The podcast is doing really well at the moment. We're getting loads of new listeners, loads of stuff on TikTok, and we've had an email Ali.
Oh.
Cunningham.
Careful.
Very difficult. Ali Cunningham. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read you the email?
Of course I want you to read me the email. Oh, hang on. Whoa. Is it nice?
Yes. Check that, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Does it say something like, who are you to talk about golf? I bet you're rubbish at golf. Or something like that. Has it got TikTok comment vibes in it?
Why have you got a shit mustache? No, yeah, this isn't TikTok. Okay, this is from Ali Cunningham. He said, hi guys. Just recently started listening to the show and have gone back to the start to catch up. I know so many people that have done that, have gone all the way back to the...
Guys, it's not The Sopranos. There isn't, or Breaking Bad, there isn't like a narrative arc. apart from Tom Green's weight loss,
From the weight loss, and also you're round in Scotland, which... Yes.
Oh, Dornoch. Did I mention that I played Dornoch?
You played Dornoch, and the round that... Remember we did a podcast on the course?
Yes.
And the podcast episode where I played Royal Birkdale, and that when I organised JCB.
Actually, you're right, there are plot lines.
Yeah. There's stuff to go back to.
Okay, fine. All right, you should go back to the beginning. If you get a chance, start from the top.
My friend Louis is going back through it at the moment, and I was like, oh, mate. I was like, apology, because he works at Radio 1. Mm. So I was like, apology for some of the production values at the start. We didn't really know it was going to be what it ended up being. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, in this episode, you were like lying on the sofa having a beer in Preston. So it was like that for a while. Anyway.
Great days.
Ali. Hi, guys. Just recently started listening to the show and have gone back to the start to catch up. Just listened to an episode where you asked for shout-outs for old clubs. I'd like to shout out a full set plus bag of custom-fit golf clubs that I bought from Forgan Golf.
Honestly, no, it sounds like a sort of Chinese hoax.
Doesn't sound real.
Yeah, fake clubs.
Forgan Golf, never heard of them. I'd played golf twice with a package set of Ram clubs. I mean, have you heard anything more newbie golfer than Rams. Played twice? Yes, Rams, but played twice. Full new set of clubs. That is me.
Yeah.
That is what I would do.
Yeah.
I've done this sport twice, and I want all the gear.
Out on the course with the 8-iron, taking the cellophane wrapping off the 8-iron for your shot.
Ali, we're the same person. I played golf twice with a package set of Rams that I bought and decided to upgrade to a better brand. Knowing nothing about clubs and the fitting process, I thought I'd Google how to do it. I play, and I'm 6'4", so I thought the reason I couldn't hit the ball was because the clubs were too short. I love that. He's played twice and he's like, why am I not great at this sport instantly?
I know what it is. The shafts need to be longer and then I'll be a professional.
I thought the clubs were too short. Turns out that wasn't the main reason I couldn't play perfect golf from day one. The first brand strongly recommended enough was Forgans or Forgians of St. Andrews.
Why have I never heard of them?
I've never heard of them either. How could they be bad? They have the name St. Andrews in them. Mm. Well, they were bad. And due to my Googled custom fit, were unplayable. I spent about £700 on them and played with them twice.
Are they not even rubbish? That would be forgivable if you bought some sort of shonky brand and they cost £150. That's really pricey.
Loving the show, and I hope you get out and do some more YouTube videos. If you're ever in the west coast of Scotland and want to take on Macri Danish, give me a shout. I can sign you in.
Probably 12 holes.
Cheers, Ali.
I can sign you in. Yeah, okay. So we'll get a bit of a discount.
Yeah, I want you to... Ali, we're coming. You're paying, mate.
Yeah,
we've come all the way to Scotland for you.
Yeah. Also, if you could cover petrol and Airbnb, Ali, then we'll be there. Thanks very much.
I'd love to do more YouTube videos, but right now we just don't have the... I don't know how YouTube golfers...
They don't have radio shows every day.
Yeah, that'll be it, won't it?
And they don't go swanning off to Spain to cover the Challenge Tour on Sky Sports. Tom Green.
What a week it was last week.
I was watching the last few moments, the vinegar strokes, if you like, of the Challenge Tour event. And it was a lovely moment. Champagne flying everywhere because old Marco Penge had won, and he won by a margin.
Yeah, I nearly cried. It was so emotional.
Well, you could cry because you'd have been covered in champagne and no one would have known.
Yeah.
And there I was watching it on telly going, oh, this is really exciting. It's so brilliant. And then I just saw this guy with a moustache focusing with his phone, filming the moment for his TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's my man, it's Tom Green.
There he was.
I got quite excited when I saw you.
Yeah, it was quite cool. I came back at 3 a.m. Monday morning and I was having dinner. Em was out last night. That was Tuesday night. Em was out. And the highlights are on Sky Sports Golf.
Got to watch that.
So I watched it.
Just to watch for yourself?
Yeah, I was looking out for me. Mm. But it's so weird to see a golf event you were at portrayed on Sky Sports Golf and watch it sort of come together.
So what are the headlines from that experience of watching something where you... What does it look like on telly compared to... What don't we see when you're there in the flesh and now you're watching it on TV and you're like, oh my God, you couldn't see the hills or whatever?
I guess the nice thing is that when you watch a golf course on TV that you've played or that you know so well, because I went and spent a week on it. It's nice to be able to sort of, when he goes, they're on hole 7 on the green, I'm like, my brain goes, whoosh, okay, cool, so the clubhouse is there, and yes, there's the water, and there's the hills. Like, it's quite nice to circumnavigate the golf course in your brain. It's funny, I don't think Alcanada Golf Course looked unbelievable on TV. Mm-hmm. It looked, the greens looked a little bit patchy, but when you're there, they felt amazing. Like, the golf course is amazing. It is an amazing golf course, and the quality of the course is far better than pretty much anything I've ever played.
Did you have the moment I had going to Royal Liverpool last year where I just had to fall to my knees and touch the fairway as we crossed a fairway?
It's so nice.
Because it's so beautiful. Because you're right, I did watch it on telly and I thought, oh, it looks nice, but it looks a bit challenge tour in the sense it doesn't look like a ding.
Yeah.
A++, which is what you kind of get used to. But that shows you how amazing those courses must be.
Totally. I think the thing with it is it's quite new.
Okay.
So it was made 30 years ago or whatever, 20 years ago. So it's not super old. Yeah. And the vista that you've got, the hills and the valley and the sea area that it's surrounded by is amazing. So the views off the long par 3, like 7, is incredible as it goes down the hill, or 17 with the water on the left-hand side. There's moments of the big lighthouse there that's quite iconic. It's a beautiful course to look at, but I think the maintenance of some greens was quite bad on TV. I don't think it looked great on TV.
Right.
And even when you were there, I was like, oh, the greens are a bit patchy. Like, what's all that about? And I don't know why that was, but it's still, I would recommend you go. I'd recommend you play.
Yeah. Remind us, what's the name of the course again? It
was Golf de Alcanada.
Right. Okay.
So it's in Mallorca.
Not in Canada.
It's not in Canada. Sure, in Canada. Marco Penge won.
Yeah, of course. It was incredible. I watched a few bits and bobs. One of the things I really enjoyed was because of the, and we've talked about this before, if you want to go to a golf event, especially if you've just started or you've got little ones who have just started, go to a, for want of a better expression, lower grade round, and you're going to get closer to the players.
Yep.
You're going to smell the fear on their breath.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You're going to be there. And one of the things I enjoyed about that was watching, I don't know who it was, taking a chip shot. It's 7.
Chip shot.
37.
Yep.
A chip shot just off the green. And the crowd was like, it looked like his mum was probably standing like just over a meter away from him.
You could get so close.
And he flunked the chip shot. Like it went landed. Like it was a full on, you've absolutely balls that up, right? And I just thought, that must be, the people right next to him just to go, and have to sort of look away, like, so that's, for me, hilarious, but it just made me think, oh my God, imagine, like, who would be the worst person to be standing next to you as you're about to take a really high pressure, really tricky little, like a flop shot onto a fast green? Who'd be the worst person to be there as you're about to take that shot? Can you imagine?
I think anyone you're trying to impress would be the worst person to have next to you.
Yeah.
It's like when I've taken a few new golfers to driving ranges recently, and I'd be like, oh, look, you know, this is how you hit a 7-iron, or like, this is how you hit a draw, as I proceed to hit a giant fade.
And they go,
did you mean to hit it to the left? Yes.
Took me a second.
Yes.
It's very hard. Like, I think for me, the people that sort of spring into my ex-girlfriends, any ex-girlfriend to be like a meter and a half away from you, any teacher at school who always knew I was going to be a failure and then could see me actually failing would have just been, do you know, it just looked like, it looks brutal. And it reminds me of doing comedy clubs. You know, the hardest comedy clubs are when there's no audience, when there's 3 or 4 people.
Yeah.
Those are the toughest gigs. I've done gigs to 2,000 people and it's relatively easy because the laughter gives you enough time to think. When there's 4 people there, you're like,
I don't have time. It was funny because I think this shows what that level of golf is like. That event was very well attended for a Challenge Tour event. Yeah. Most Challenge Tour events don't get crowds.
Right.
There are no crowds. Ireland, there was crowds because the Irish love golf and it's our flagship event on the Challenge Tour. So, you know, loads of people go to that. Mm. And then a decent amount, more than Ireland, to be fair, go to the Grand Final. Yeah. So, yeah, it's when you're used to watching the PGA Tour or majors, if you only watch majors golf, which I know loads of golfers only watch the majors, even you could be a massive golf fan and only watch the majors, you're so used to like fairways lined with people all the way down.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's not what this is at all.
But then that's for me, that's an attraction to it. That's an attraction to watch it, but also to want to go as well. But there must be a pressure on those people who are a meter away to say something. Like, I wouldn't Do you know what I mean? If that was me and, I don't know, Marco Penge, and he's about to try and win this thing and get his card, and it's incredibly high pressure, and he does that shot, part of me would have gone, oh,
sorry, mate.
Never mind, mate. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I bet you wish you could have that one back. What do you say? What do you say when a pro really screws up?
The atmosphere there is tense.
Yes, it
feels tense.
Interesting.
Well, these guys are playing for their lives. Like, genuinely, this is the great thing
about... God, that would be a good format.
What, play? Yeah.
They will die unless they finish top 10.
What is it? Squid Game? Squid Game
Golf? Yeah.
Oh, God, you're dead. You're dead now. I think it means more to these players than like a DP World Tour event or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because these guys, this is the great thing about the Challenge Tour, and this is the great thing about what that moment was. For a lot of these golfers, this is probably their first big moment. Yeah, okay, they might have played some amateur golf, and maybe they've played some golf for the county, and maybe some national golf, maybe play for England Golf, for example. Mm. But you've gotten to the Challenge Tour through starts, or you've got like a Challenge Tour card, and that's like a lower level ranking.
Mm.
This is your first moment where you've graduated to the European Tour, which golfers will have grown up wanting to play on.
Yeah.
And this is that moment.
Yeah.
And everyone was crying. Like, there was a golfer called Tom Vallon, who was this young guy, got very angry when his golf game was going wrong. But he came second in the Road to Mallorca, third in the Road to Mallorca.
So he's there.
Oh, he's got his card. Yeah. Wow, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he was in the top 20.
Yeah.
Took off his hat, broke down. Literally, there's a beautiful video of him, like, because you watch him play golf and he's a man, right? Mm. He's not tall. He's probably 5'7", but he's a man playing golf.
Serious scrunchy face
bloke hitting proper golf shots. He is a man. And the moment he took his hat off and broke down into his dad's arms,
he was a boy. Oh, he was a
and
boy.
It was beautiful. And watching these moments happen, it was just like to watch someone go from this golfer you've seen play to go to a human being within his dad's arms was like, oh, wow.
That is beautiful.
This means so much to them. I loved it. The stories are great.
Can I have a moment to have a little cry?
And yes.
We'll do an advert, yeah?
Yes. Thanks. Oh, welcome back to another episode of Golf is Ruining My Life. He's still crying.
He was a boy.
I can make anything emotionally.
Yeah, you're very good at that. Well, I want to talk about Marco Penge once more because something about him, he's a brilliant golfer and he won by some distance in the end.
He won the final by... Yeah, he won the event by... Yeah, yeah, he was safe by the back nine, yeah.
But his name, Marco Penge. It's a great golfer's name.
It is a proper golfer's name, isn't it?
He belongs in the top ranks of golfers just by being called Marco Penge.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to sort of take a moment to enjoy some of the great golfers' names. For me, the best golfer's name ever is Miguel Angel Jimenez.
You love him.
You're just never going to get a better name. Miguel Angel Jimenez. And you know from that name what he's going to look like. And he does. He doesn't disappoint.
Yeah, it's funny. I had this. It's like names that... Because you're surrounded by different nationalities in golf, there's names that you would never, ever have in normal life.
Yeah.
That you just say them so much that they become normal.
Ernie Els. Yes. Ernie. Yeah. He's
called Ernie, mate. Leave him alone.
Have you ever met anyone called Ernie? No.
No.
But in golf, completely normally he's called Ernie.
Absolutely fine, yeah.
Of course.
I can't think of any. Have you got any of these, like, names in golf that sort of roll off the tongue, but really... You would never say them in real life.
I don't think there are many primary school teachers right now saying, right, Tiger, get back in your seat, please.
Yeah.
It's not a thing, right?
It's not a thing. And Marco Penge is 100% one of Brandon Robinson Thompson.
He was great. And is he through? He's done it.
Oh, sugar. He was the first one to not do it.
You mean he came 21st?
He was 21st. So again, this was quite annoying last week. But for confusing reasons... Alex Fitzpatrick had got his DP World Tour card through another way.
Oh.
So I don't know how he'd done it. I don't know whether it's because he played so well in the Open or he'd done so well on DP World Tour events. So it was the top 21 people that got through on the on the Road to Mallorca.
Because one of those was Alex.
Because one of those was Alex and he'd already got his card. So you would have to go to 21.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Robinson-Thompson was 22.
Oh my life, you're joking. I'm actually... That is heartbreaking.
Yep. He birdied. So he birdied 17 and he had to get a birdie on 18. And that was the hole. I don't know if you remember the podcast last week. That was like, if there's any hole you could go for, 18 you could go for.
You could do it.
And I saw him and I saw that last putt roll and missed by a foot. That's it. Card that is card gone.
Heartbreaking. How was he? Did you chat to him?
Yeah, I went to the bar with him at the end and just said, mate, like, I've loved following you this year. It's been amazing. He's really big on social media. Like, he just gets it.
Yeah.
He's 1992, so he's 2 years older than me.
Okay.
He's just cool. He's just cool. Like,
And what's his approach for next year? What was he just like, was he effing and jeffing?
Nope.
Or was
he was like, mate, I've had a great year. No. He got onto the Challenge Tour on an invite. He's played in the Open. He's played, there's like 19 events in the Challenge Tour. He's played 10 of them and got to the grand final. He's like, I'm going to America next week to get married. Like, he's like, there's more to life than golf. I'm like,
this is,
you're the coolest man in the world.
I love that.
Yeah, he was really cool. Really cool.
You have taken a sad story and made it into a lovely thing there.
Yeah.
Because I was really getting, I was taking a run up there to be like, oh mate, I need a moment to think about BLT. But he's just having a great time. And he'll be back next year on Challenge again.
He'll be back next year on Challenge and he'll go again. Stuart Manley is a great story as well. Stuart Manley, 44 years old, Welsh golfer.
Oh, yeah.
Has had 9 DP World Tour cards. Yeah. So he's very much in that up and down and up and down and up and down thing.
Yeah.
And he was the last through the door. He was number 21.
That is good.
You could see what it meant to him. I followed him around 17 and spoke to all his proper Welsh family were all there. Yeah, and they were just brilliant. Like, I spoke to his brother, who's his caddy, and he was just like, in an event where you speak to parents and it's all very serious and it's all like, you know, this is a big thing for my son and blah, blah, blah. I spoke to his brother and he's like, I'm not going to do the Welsh accent.
Go on then. Go on, have a go. Go on.
He's not getting any younger.
Don't do the Welsh accent.
Sorry. He's not getting
Don't
any...
Don't try it again. Sorry. Don't try it again.
He's not getting any younger. He's 44.
He's not getting any younger. He's 44.
There you go.
Fine. Oh my God. I mean, that is... But also for someone at that age as well, if you get into DP, you can have a good couple of years on there and you can sort yourself out. Life-wise. You know, for like money-wise.
Oh yeah,
for
financially, life, like, yeah. Yeah. And he's done it. He's been there 9 times. So he knows what it's like to play on the DP World Tour. But the... I don't want to put words into his mouth or describe his situation unfairly. So I'll just quote what his brother said. But, you know, at 44, how many more chances are you going to get to play on the DP World Tour?
2.
Yeah, it's not going to be loads, is it?
Yeah.
So it really meant something to him. So that was quite nice to see. And then I felt really bad for a golfer called Jamie Rutherford, who I done some filming with that week.
Tell me sad stories now, because we did happy stories.
Okay.
Give him a shout out.
Yeah, a lovely Jamie who missed out marginally again. Just sad.
But it must be, you know, you're doing the road to Mallorca, right?
Mallorca, yeah.
And over the whole season of Challenge Tour events, to be that close, you must be able to say, oh, if I had just made the cut, or if I had just hold that putt. Like you said with BRT on the last hole.
Oh my God, yeah. It's one of those sports as well, golf, where, I mean, you see this all the time with majors and whatever, but you really notice it in moments like that when Brandon Robinson-Thompson misses out by 1 birdie. 1 putt. You must just think back to Thursday morning and go, God, if I'd just not done that on the third, or I'd not done that on Friday afternoon. There's so many moments like that final putt on 18. It means so much, but it's just another stroke.
Yeah.
It's a stroke that could have been saved on Thursday.
But this comes back to the thing which I've really enjoyed talking about over the episodes of this, which is this let it go-ness. Right? Do you remember the thing we were saying about how Ernie Els was the best?
Oh, the Big Easy.
But because he just would hit a bad shot and it would it's gone.
Mm.
And that thing where you just go, it's happened, accept your fate. You know, the number of times I've pulled over a golf cart where I've shot a really good round, but there's a double bogey in there. And I'm like, do you ever do this where you'll say like, oh my God, I shot 6 over today and I dropped 4 of those shots on 2 holes. Oh my God, those 2 holes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's golf. And yet you always think, oh, that's just me. It's just, it's getting it. No, that's golf.
That's just the sport.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah. The ability to play golf and not get angry, though. Marco is self-quoted and also everyone around him is, it just doesn't affect him. He was so chill. I said it in my final interview with him on the Sunday. I was going to say, it's time to relax, but not that you looked at any point stressed out there at all.
Yeah.
I followed him down 1. And he hit this beautiful shot down the first. And I was interviewing his mum and dad on the fairway as he proceeded to pull his approach into the green, into the OB. I was like, oh God, I've cursed him.
And what were the parents like?
They didn't see it. They were like facing me as I saw him sort of pull this big approach shot into the rubbish. Yeah. And I was like, God, this could be crumble moment. And he was like, oh, no, I was a bit worried then. But he's like, I'm always like this. I'm always a bit shaky over the first few holes. And he said, by five, I said to my caddy, like, I'm in the rhythm now. And they were like, right, let's go then.
Oh, my God, amazing.
He's just so chatting on the side of the tee. Like, he came over to me and had conversations, like, while playing in on the Sunday.
This is why this Challenge Tour thing is so exciting. It's so interesting. You have got a... It's like when people... the playoffs for football to get promoted to the next division up. It's got that to it, but it's golf. And I don't know why it isn't... We've said it on the last episode. They should push this thing more. Talking about him with his parents there, it just reminds me of the time I once took my mum with me to play golf, right?
Okay.
Got a buggy.
Is she a golfer?
No.
Okay.
She was good at tennis back in the day, but no, she's not a golfer at all. She doesn't care about it. And I stuck her in the buggy next to me. And I was like, this is really nice. It was just a 9-hole course. Good course.
Yeah.
You sit next to me and we'll drive around, right? And on the first hole, I hit a pitching wedge 120 yards to this close to the pin. She didn't break sweat from her conversation.
Just didn't realize what, yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And then Joy said to me that Judy was going to see her and Joy was... And I was like, sorry, can
you see what I've just done?
Just put a pitching wedge to a foot. Could yes. Oh, no, not a clue. Never take your parents golfing with you.
Well, don't take anyone golfing with you who doesn't understand the sports and knows what's good and what's bad.
Well, yes, that's very true.
It's even worse on bad shots.
Yes.
When you go, okay, I didn't get out of the bunker. They go, weren't you supposed to get out?
Yeah.
Why have you done that?
Why?
You're still exactly in the bunker.
That's what my wife did. She came to watch. She was at the range over the summer and she watched me thin one. Why did you do that?
Why did you do that?
Well, I didn't mean to do that, did I? I didn't ask why you burnt the lasagna. Do I?
You're better than that banter.
Sorry.
You're better than that.
I'm just saying that because she did burn the lasagna last week. That's not just like an arbitrary thing. That is based on an actual thing.
It's autobiographical.
All right. Getting towards the end of the episode today. At some stage, we will stop talking about the Challenge Tour. But I want to ask you a question.
Okay. I've just realised we've got a competition to do this week.
We've got... Right. Oh, well, hang on. That would suggest that you've got something to give away because I want to know. We said on the last episode.
Ah, yes.
All right. Means negative things. You have to bring me back a present.
I've brought back a handful of tour only Pro V1 golf balls.
What?
Yeah. So these are golf balls. I think I mentioned this on the podcast last week that are only available if you play on the tour. So they're brand new, beautiful Pro V1s, and on the side it just says Tour.
Oh, mate.
It's cool.
You can't play with those. You'll lose those,
I know.
Let's give them away.
Let's
give them away to better people.
I've brought them back because I think it would be an amazing thing to do, and I think it's a really cool prize because it's not like we're handing out a golf club, which we've done in the past, and it's an amazing thing to do.
And we're doing in the future quite soon.
Yes.
Stay tuned for that.
But money can buy prizes. Mm. This is a money can't buy prize.
Oh my God, mate, you sound like an American hawkster. This is a money can't buy prize.
You can't get it.
You gotta be in it to win it.
You can't get it anywhere.
Cool. It is very cool.
So I've got an idea.
All right.
I would like, if you're listening to the show right now, if you've never given a review to this podcast, scroll down to the bottom of Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review, leave a comment, make sure you're subscribed.
Yeah.
And if you do those things, so if you give a comment, give a review in stars and you're subscribed, we will pick one comment at random every couple of episodes over the next few weeks.
Great.
We'll contact you because we'll mention it on the podcast and we'll give you these money can't buy golf balls.
That is excellent.
Yeah.
How many did you bring? Enough to supply?
We got one or two.
We do need a lot of nice comments because the numbers are doing really well on the podcast and I could not be happier about that.
Yeah.
But the comments really help because they drive new listeners over this way. So comments and reviews really, really help. So do that. And look, there's something in it for you as well. We will try and chuck you some of these golf balls. I really want to see these.
Are you going to get them for you?
All right, okay.
So to say again, all you got to do is scroll down to the bottom of Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review. So click the 5 stars, leave a written review saying how much you love the show. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and we'll pick a few listeners at random over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I'll get your address and I'll just send you these money can't buy Pro V1s with Tour on the side.
Was it difficult for you coming back from beautiful Spain? Although I know you had a bit of a storm that came through, but we all did. Was it difficult coming back to this grey, dark, rainy weather? Because this does not say golf to me.
Yeah, it was. We have a Ring camera on our front door and I went on the one that there was a Ring one morning and Em was out. So I was like, oh, I'll go and check who it is. And I opened the Ring camera and the scene in front of the house was just leaves everywhere. The wind was battering it. And I was like, oh God, this is what I'm coming back to. I've come back to 8 degrees.
Yeah.
There was something quite nice about, I mean, this is basically me just going, aren't holidays nice?
Oh, but no, it's a great point well made.
There was something quite nice because it wasn't boiling over there.
Yeah.
But if you sat in the sun, it was nice to sit in the sun and you'd have jeans and a jumper or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There was something quite nice about going away when no one else was there because you couldn't sunbathe, but it was still nice enough to sit on the balcony and read a book or go and play golf.
Yeah.
There was something quite nice about that because you were just on your own. Like if you went and played golf over there in this season, no one else is there.
Here's a mad idea. And I would be up for doing this, I think. A golf holiday, right? So a lad's trip. But this is mad. You go by yourself.
Oh, I fantasize about that all the time.
Do you?
Yes.
So you go out to a La Manga or you go out to El Canada.
Yeah.
And you give yourself a couple of rounds, but it's just you. You take a couple of books. Because I quite like playing golf with the AirPods in. Have a listen. Have a listen to Golfers Ruining My Life, the back catalogue.
Yeah.
Remember all those early plot lines?
Yep.
Right? And then you go out, you play golf by yourself for a couple of days, just you and your company. Is that insane?
I will get slated online for this. I know I'll get slated online.
We get slated online
for
everything. It's fine.
I'm going to say something, and this is very anti the golf trips that I've been on, but I really want to do a golf trip where it's just with a few lads and it is chill. And I don't want to booze. Yeah. I don't want to get drunk. All I want to do is maybe get up, read by the pool, go and play some golf. Go to the gym, have a beautiful dinner, maybe a glass of wine at dinner, and then go to bed early and then do it again the next day.
Yeah.
I don't want a hangover. I don't want stress. I don't want anxiety.
Don't want late night gentlemen's clubs, shall we say. Because that happened to me when I was on a golf trip and I was like,
what am I here for?
I'm not here for that. What are you talking about? Golf and ladies? This isn't my Instagram search engine. I want to have a chilled out golf.
This isn't what the algorithm thinks I want, but I sort of do. Do you know what I mean? I just had that fantasy when I was walking around El Canada. I was like, how great would it be to be here for a week, play maybe twice a day, maybe on some days, no hangover, and just enjoy it. And I said that to one of the guys who was like, that's not the point of lads golf trips. Yeah. It's like, oh, I know, but it should be.
What would that be? A one-man golf trip. I'm really up for doing that. I was going to say we should do it together, but that defeats the point.
See, I don't know if I want to do it on my own. I don't mind. I would want to do it with a few different people, but I need to have my time on my own.
Well, here's an idea. They should do a thing where for a week at an El Canada or whatever it's called, they go like, right, almost like a sort of singles night. But if you want to come and play golf, just meet up with other like-minded guys.
Yeah.
It's going very
0898505050.
But if you want to just come out and play 18 holes with a random guy, and then you get to... No.
If you just want to meet hot hunks on a golf course that are single and looking in your area within 30 kilometers.
Great way to meet guys. But I mean it. I think that could be quite... There's no pressure then. Because the thing, I agree with you, the thing is the pressure.
The pressure to get drunk.
Last. Listen, we've run out of time. Time is the biggest pressure of all. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, write a lovely comments and golf balls could be heading your way.
Yeah, 5-star review, subscribe, lovely comment, and you could get a tour only Pro V1. See you next time.
Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.